You're listening to, you know what really grinds my gears? Dissecting religious ideologies and belief systems through the New Covenant lens of grace.
God likes to teach you lessons by putting you through difficult situations? Really? Let's talk about it on this episode of You Know What Really Grinds My Gears? Let's get at it. So there's this often said statement. I'm not sure if a lot of Christians actually think through what they say at times. And I think it comes from a very distorted theological understanding of God. But for some reason, we have this crazy, outlandish fetish with the character Job. You know who I'm talking about, right? The book of Job, the guy who supposedly went through so much. You know, the devil tampered with him, God gave him permission to do so, and we see him losing his house, his family, his livestock. He lost everything. And somehow, we like to go to this text as a way to teach people that God likes to teach you lessons by putting you through difficult situations. My question is, why look to the example of Job when we have the example of Jesus? Now, Job is an Old Testament character. Yes, he has a story. Yes, there's lessons for Job in that story that he went through. And of course, we know the outcome. But is Job really a measuring stick for us? Is Job really a character that we're supposed to replace ourselves with Job? And that every situation that seems to come our way, we got to bring up Job or put ourselves in the story of Job as the character of Job? Like, it's outlandish. So today, I want to talk about some things. I want to talk about what really grinds my gears about this whole logic. Like, it's very distorted. It's out of context with the character of God, with the Jesus we see in the New Testament and the New Covenant. If you don't already know, and you haven't listened to any of my podcasts yet, you've probably heard my wife say it at the beginning. This is about dissecting religious ideologies, thoughts, any type of idea or philosophy we have about God. We screen it through the New Covenant of Grace, and I believe, and the people that come on this show believe that it's the grace of God that saves, and it's the grace of God that teaches us to say no to sin and ungodliness. So it's all on grace. It's not on us. It's on grace. And when we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, right? That's the case. So stop bringing up your sin and start seeing how big your Savior is. Stop confessing your sin and know that through Christ's one-time sacrifice, he's completely and utterly destroyed the penalty of sin forever, and that you are completely clean. There's nothing wrong with you. You have a clean heart. You're not evil. You desire what God wants, right? So all of these things that I'm saying are in context with what we want to talk about today. God's went through so much for us to buy us back with his precious blood. So we have no say in the equation. We just rest. We receive it by a one-time work. That John, in the book of John, it says that God's work is for us to believe in the one he sent. And who is the one he sent? Jesus Christ. So let's stop this nonsense, this double talk, these statements that we think are very Christian, and we think they sound good. They sound like a good challenge for a Christian, but it's far from what God wants for us. And it's far from who Christ says we are in him. We are in him, and there is no separating that. So let's get back. I digressed a little bit, but let's go. God makes you sick to teach you lessons. I mean, you've probably heard it said. Someone goes through maybe a job loss, or they get a terminal disease, or they go through a strenuous breakup or divorce, and you got that Christian Karen. Let's call the female or the male equivalent to the Christian Karen, we'll call him the Christian Kevin. I don't know, just for kicks and giggles, right? But we hear these statements that are said to those in dire circumstances. Oh, God is teaching you a lesson by putting you through this difficult situation. It's like we don't have anything else to say. It's like that's the only tool or the only weapon in our arsenal. It's the only option we've had because we've heard it said from a pulpit or from some Christian who misunderstands the new covenant, misunderstands what's in the Bible versus what's in the new covenant. I mean, it really is a problem. So God makes you sick to teach you things or teach you lessons, like your difficult situations or something he needs to grow his ego? Not the case, guys. So you've heard it said, oh, yeah, God give you this disease because he wants to teach you character. Or, oh, you're going through a divorce? Yeah, he wants to teach you selflessness. The problem is in your marriage, you're too self-focused. Things are about you. You're too prideful. So God is teaching you a lesson by bringing this upon you. I mean, think about it. Why would God, who ordained marriage, who came up with the whole idea of marriage, man and wife leaving their mom and dad, their home, and cleaving to one another, why would God put you through an arduous situation in your marriage to teach you a lesson? He loves marriage. He loves when people love each other. He loves when people make a covenant to one another to spend the rest of their days with each other. So this whole God likes to teach you lessons by putting you through difficult situations? No, he doesn't do that. He doesn't say these things. Some Christians who are maybe a little immature in their thinking may say this. But God is certainly able to redeem our suffering, but he doesn't give us sickness in the first place. Sickness is not his, it's not his origin. Sickness is a result of sin. God does not give us sickness. God does not give us these tumultuous, insufferable situations just so we can learn something. See, under the new covenant, people got sick as a consequence of breaking the law. I mean, you can look it up for yourself, Deuteronomy 28, verse 15 to 28. But in the new covenant, Jesus has redeemed us from the curse of the law that we might live healthy and abundant lives. Guys, we have grace upon grace. We have abundant lives. We are part of the abundant life. We are in the abundant life because Christ is in us, sealed by the Holy Spirit. He's in us, works through us. He envelops us. He's everything. So religion or religious statements say God teaches us by giving us sickness or a difficult situation. But Jesus says he teaches us through the Word and the Holy Spirit. See the difference? The truth is that Jesus took sickness off people. He didn't give it to them. He took difficult situations away. He didn't apply them. He was rescuing people. For goodness sake, if you think about the cross and what that did when it came to our rescue of taking us from darkness into light, I mean, it's only logical to understand God as a God that wants to bring health and wholeness, completeness, through the cross, burial, and resurrection. Another thing I want to quickly talk about too is, you know, God is this God who gives and takes away. Your baby died because God needed another angel in heaven. You probably heard of that, right? Or God took your uncle because he just needed a good usher in heaven. So when other people are died and gone to heaven, he's there to usher them in. I know it sounds a little facetious. It sounds a little far-fetched, but you get my drift. Or maybe this, God took your job because you're just enjoying it too much. You're making an idol out of it. Or your car was stolen, or money was stolen. Your house was burned down. It's because you're making it too much of an idol. You've heard that before, right? I won't even get into the whole origin of idolatry, but this is so far-fetched. It's far from the truth. It's a lie. It's a religious lie. And if you heed these damnable lies, supposedly, you won't resist thief when he comes to plunder you, so to speak. But guys, religion loves to quote Job, as I mentioned at the beginning, because, and here's why, because he's a great example to look to for self-righteousness, right? Job 32, 1 to 2. We see Job's self-righteousness. He was bitter, right? We often get bitter, and this is why the religious community likes to go to Job. Job 27, 2, he was bitter. Job was suicidal, right? What an opportunity for the religious-minded when they hear someone suicidal to go right to this text, Job 7, 15, and talk about how Job was suicidal and how you need to be delivered from suicide if you have those thoughts. It's outlandish. Job spoke a lot about rubbish, like Job 42, 3. I mean, Job really is an ignoramus. He talks utter nonsense at times. Job 34, 35. But in all of this, the reason why we have this character Job, supposedly we hear from the pulpit, from the pastor, from the box church, or for some Christians who just don't see things through the new covenant. The reason why we have it is because they want us to listen to Job when we can be listening to Jesus. Guys, to wrap this up, very short episode, the truth of the matter in all of this, in reference to God likes to teach you lessons by putting you through difficult situations, this: Jesus came so that you may have life to the full. And that's in every aspect of a full life. God gives good gifts, and he never takes them back, Romans 11, 29. So we need to change our mind. We like to refer to that as repentance. Change the way we think about how we read the Old Testament, how we read or how we understand character roles like Job, how we can read his story and we can sympathize with Job. We can, you know, talk about these things in its context, but we don't get to take Job and usher him over into the New Testament and begin to tell us that this is how the New Covenant, this is how Jesus, the Holy Spirit, treats us. We don't get to do that. We don't get to put ourselves in Job's shoes. We are ourselves. And Christ came to give us life to the max. And he did that because he's loving and tender. He's gracious. You will never be out of God's good graces. He will never use you as a pawn or as a lab rat. He'll never use you as a test to see if you can handle certain things in this life. He just won't. And he will never reject you. So guys, let's change the narrative. Let's start thinking differently about all of this. And let's understand that Christ, by his finished work, by his love that can never be measured by human standard, loves us wholly and completely and wants us to live this life completely being ourselves, trusting him and being at rest. So guys, that's all I have to say today. Thanks for tuning in. And if you want to follow me on YouTube at The Grace Gamut, on Instagram at The Grace Gamut, would love to have you as the next member of the family. So without further ado, I'm going to sign off here. You guys have a great week, and we'll catch you on the next one. Take care, guys.
You're listening to You Know What Really Grinds My Gears? Dissecting religious ideologies and belief systems through the New Covenant lens of grace.